Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. The exhortation from our Lord Jesus in that reading that we had from Mark chapter 13 is to watch. What did he mean by that? I'd like us to think about that by way of exhortation. Because there's all sorts of different ways in which we can watch. We can watch intently, whether it be a play or a sporting occasion. And if you're like me, when the goal is scored, you're up off the sofa. Yeah, we can be looking at something, but our mind is somewhere totally different. We can watch behaviour patterns. That's what parents tend to do with their children. Yeah, management is trained today to watch body language from the point of view of discussions and negotiations. There's a watching where we try to catch someone out, to catch someone off their guard. And that happened with the Lord Jesus. We've seen that in Mark's Gospel already. The scribes and the Pharisees tried to catch Jesus off guard. And there is a watching of our Heavenly Father. He looks at everything we do and say and think. He is a Father that cares for us, his children, and wants to see in us that response to the love that he has shown to each one of us. And we could go on. All sorts of different types of watching. And there are spiritual lessons in each of those. And for sure, one of the key lessons is that human nature is such that we tend to watch others as opposed to looking at ourselves and thinking about what we're doing, what we're saying, and what we're thinking. And the watching that the Lord Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 13 is something quite different to that. And it's something the Lord Jesus says, and he exhorts several times towards the end, particularly, of his life. And we see it in the Mount Olivet prophecy. And it's there several times as he got towards the time where he was to be crucified. And he says to his disciples, watch. And that word in the original means to be awake, to be vigilant, to be on our guard, to keep awake. That's the exhortation for each one of us this morning as we come to share these emblems. And if you've got Mark chapter 13 open, just look at how he closes this chapter. The Lord Jesus says in verse 33 of Mark chapter 13, he says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Notice the significance of that verse 34. We see that while the master is absent, authority is given to his servants. That's you and me, my dear brothers and sisters. Each to do his work. And in particular, the porter, the doorkeeper, is commanded to watch. And so that's our exhortation for this morning, my dear brothers and sisters. To be awake, to watch, to be vigilant, to be on our guard. We remember those words in the book of Revelation. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. We'll come back to Mark in a short while. Come with me to Matthew's record of the Olivet prophecy. Because immediately after the Olivet prophecy, he teaches a parable. And I'd like us just to think about that parable. It's a parable that we know very well, so I'm not going to go into the detail. But right at the beginning of chapter 25, Jesus says, then And so it's a natural follow-on from what he's been talking about. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And so here we have the parable of the 10 virgins. A parable all about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we know it well, don't we? And its application applies to all those who are looking and seeking and praying for the return of the Lord Jesus. And we all are part of that number, desperate to see the Lord back on this earth again, that the Lord God in heaven might be glorified and the whole of his creation will give him pleasure forevermore, and peace and righteousness will reign on this earth. But the sobering point about this parable is that all ten believed that, and they knew the bridegroom was coming. Outwardly, they were indistinguishable with each other. The foolish virgins, they went forward, didn't they, to meet the bridegroom? They had their lamps. The lamps were burning, but they didn't take any oil with them. The problem was they were lacking. They were found lacking in watchfulness and perseverance. You know, they did not keep in mind the fact that although the bridegroom might come at any moment in time, yet he might delay long. And that there was a need for constant daily preparation, constant watchfulness for the bridegroom to come. In the case of the wives, we know that they took oil in their vessels with the lamps. And again, as we look down these verses, what we see is that there was this eager anticipation, the Lord is coming. And alive he talked, when will it be? The Lord is coming. And those thoughts then started to turn to drowsiness. And then in verse 5, they all fell asleep. You know, doesn't that illustrate to us how the return of the Lord Jesus will be sudden, as a thief in the night, as it says in the book of Revelation? And the cry came out at midnight. One day, the Lord will come suddenly, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And now, the difference between those who are ready and apparently prepared is so very clear. Only those who are truly ready pass into the marriage, and the door is shut. Now, if we delve a little bit deeper, brothers and sisters, we need to consider that all these virgins were asleep when the bridegroom came. And don't you think it's rather strange that all the foolish virgins found that the oil was going out simultaneously? Why was that, I wonder? You know, is the explanation not, brothers and sisters, that in spite of every good intention and every high aspiration for all those virgins, when the Lord comes, everyone will feel a sense of missing the mark and a feeling of inadequacy? Surely there's bound to be a moment of self-realization, a stark awareness that the Lord is here. And what about those times when we have missed the opportunity? What about our personal unworthiness? And the essential difference between the wise and the foolish virgins is that the wise have reserves to fall back on, and the foolish will not. You know, those who have a well-balanced faith based on the word's instruction in righteousness will quickly be able to adapt and adjust themselves, and will realise that in that dramatic call by their Lord, they will rely wholly on his grace and his mercy. The foolish realise their shortcomings and in a mad panic try to put matters right. And they miss the bridal festivities, and the door is shut. Is that not the message that we're getting from this parable from the Lord Jesus? You know, it reminds me, brothers and sisters, of what we've been reading of in Romans recently. You know, in Romans, out of those 16 chapters, 9 of them, the Apostle Paul talks about the peace of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God is the one that we can all recite from Romans chapter 5. And the fact is that whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, whatever challenges we have in our lives, nothing, absolutely nothing, can take us away from the peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord comes, we can rely wholly on his grace and his mercy. And the fact is that, without question, the exhortation from our reading today is for us all to be vigilant, to be on our guard, to have our lamps burning in daily expectation that he's coming and that we should be ready to meet him. And so in Matthew 25 and at verse 13, at the end of the parable, the Lord says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And so what does this watching mean then? What's watchfulness, brothers and sisters? Surely watchfulness is trying our absolute best to please our Father, to seek in our lives the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, to develop our faith from the Word, and then to put that faith into practice, to express it in a living faith. Not just a faith, but a living faith in the way that we live our lives before our Father and before our Saviour. And surely likewise, it's guarding against the dangers and the temptations that surround us. Seeking always the help of our Father in our prayers and through his word. Because the world in which we live is an evil world. And we need to be so careful that we guard ourselves against the cares of this life. And think about the cares of what really matters to us. Of the Lord coming and a place in that glorious kingdom to come. And it's not just a case of peeping out the window every day. Is he here? Is he here? To be ready no matter what the circumstances are for our Lord to come, acknowledging his grace and his mercy if we will but approach him in the right way. And of course, it doesn't mean to say that we haven't to plan for things. It doesn't mean to say that we haven't to study or to work. But everything done in accordance with the will of God. God willing. And again, it's something that we can only ask ourselves, isn't it? Where do our priorities lie? If the Lord Jesus came right now, what would we say? Oh, hang on a minute. Well, I do this or that or the other. It's just that same principle, isn't it? Where the disciples were called by the Lord Jesus, "Follow me." And straight away, they follow their master. If you just have a look at Luke 21, this is the record in Luke of the Mount Olivet prophecy. And he's got a slightly different dimension to what he says. It's much more of a personal aspect where he talks about this watching. And he also adds an extra element for us as well. And the key section is verse 34 of Luke 21. And there the Lord says it, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." The self-examination section is so obvious, isn't it? And that's for all of us to think about very carefully. But notice that verse 36. You know, the clear implication of that word, that verse, is that there are some who can escape these dire troubles. But it's only possible through the providence of God. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The fact is that we watch and we see what's happening in the world, and as we talked about in our prayer, it brings us an immediate benefit, a joy and a comfort, because every day that goes by is a day sooner that the Lord will come. And in verse 28 of this Luke chapter 21, and when these things begin to come to pass, the signs that we can look for that herald his return, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. I just want to go back to Mark's record, because there's something that we've overlooked so far in what we have said that the Lord Jesus refers to in our reading. Because we haven't talked too much about the porter. Because in Mark chapter 13 and at verse 34, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." The porter, the gatekeeper. What interesting that the Lord Jesus talks about that. We haven't time to do it now, but if you want to look at it later, the principle and the work and the duties of the porter are there in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 9. But basically, they had two roles that they were given. They had responsibility for the entrance to the house of the Lord. They were Levites who were given the responsibility as the keepers of the gates of the tabernacle. And also we find that the second of their roles was that they had to watch all those who were entering into the tabernacle, that they had entered properly. And also they had responsibility to watch inside the tabernacle to make sure that the worship of the Lord in the tabernacle was done correctly. And doesn't that add an extra dimension and a lesson for you and for me? Because here we have this lesson that the watchman is to look both outward and inward. He observes what's happening outside the ecclesia and warns those inside the ecclesia. And so he helps to prevent the dangers that are outside from entering and affecting those inside the house. And those are the responsibilities of the porter to watch. And it seems that that's passed on to all the servants of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that lovely? Because we all have a responsibility to each other. To each other as our brothers and sisters, our spiritual family, to show that love and care for each other, to help each other, to build each other up, to edify one another as we wait for that day in our ecclesias, in the work that we do together, to help each other, to make sure that we are ready when the Lord Jesus comes back, and to watch as we long for our promised land. The fact is, though, that sleep is the enemy of the watchman. It causes a loss of sight, and that sight also is a loss both presently and future-wise. And if we go into our reading for tomorrow, sleep robbed the Lord Jesus of his closest companions in his hour of need. And you know, this only happened just a few hours after the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples, "Watch!" And we go into Mark chapter 14 and at verse 34. The Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so the Lord Jesus, he left those three with that injunction, didn't he? Remain here and watch. And even the Lord Jesus had to go just a little way, not too far, so that they could see the anguish as he prostrated himself and the pain. He knew what he had to endure, and he sought the Lord. All things are possible. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And the fact is that weariness and emotional exhaustion had overcome the three of them. And Peter awoke to hear the Lord addressing him, not as Peter, as his old name that spoke of his human nature. Simon, are you asleep? And to the three he says, watch and pray. And the fact is that the Lord Jesus Christ sought his Father, if it be possible, take away this cup from me. Nonetheless, not what I will, but what you will. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, what we do now, as we do week by week, will help us to watch, to be vigilant, to be on our guard, to be awake until he comes. It's just such a wonderful expression of the love of God to you and to me, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in laying down his life so that we can truly look forward to a place in that glorious kingdom. And so may what we do now in fellowship together encourage us all to watch and to work and to be ready for that day when he will come.